I'll call our November 18th meeting to order. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good roll call of members, please.
Ms. Kiefer?
Here.
Ms. McAsey?
Present.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Mr. Randall?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa? Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Stevenson?
Present.
Mr. Burbank?
Here. Here.
Mr. Shinagawa is just arriving. Ms. Chalk?
I'm here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. Hattery?
Here.
Ms. Herrera?
Here.
Mr. Klinkelaer?
Present.
We have 15 members present.
We have no public hearing. We have no presentations. I expect we'll be able to proceed expeditiously tonight. We have no...
You're in for a surprise.
No petitions, communications, and notices?
Communications are on the desk.
No special orders of the day. We'll move to privilege of the floor for the public. Anyone here to speak on any issue, please state your name, where you live, and then the topic you'd like to address. If there are none, we'll proceed to privilege of the floor for county legislators. And we'll start with the Distinguished Youth Award from Kathy Lou Serrera.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hi, everybody. I'd like to start out by asking Tom Arleo and his family to come on up to the front. And while they're doing that, I just want to say, as a legislator, it's a thrill to be able to do this. This is the Tompkins County Distinguished Youth Award that actually Frank Proto had the idea of reinstating it. And I just want to go over real quickly what it means and what it's about. This is an awardee that will be recognized. Come on. For selfless contribution or service worthy of note to the benefit of the county community. Nominees shall be no more than 19 years of age when possible. Nominees shall be a resident of Tompkins County. And if it's a sports team, it's for performance of the community service benefiting county residents. Anyone can submit a nomination. Just call the board office. And we're always interested in hearing about these youth in our county. The whole point is to highlight how in our county today, as across the United States, there are youth that do selflessly contribute, that do public service. And it's my honor and privilege tonight to talk to you for just a minute about Tom Arleo, who is this month's recipient of the Distinguished Youth Award. I got a notice about Tom in the folder that we keep of potential awardees, and his, oh, I forgot, Steve, come on up. Steve DeWitt of the Board of Elections. Tom was working voluntarily at the Board of Elections, and I'm going to let Steve talk to you about that. But when I read it, it was just so exactly why I do public service, why youth get engaged in public service, and it was just something that really excited me. So I just like to turn it over right now, if you don't mind, Stephen, talk a little bit about what Tom was doing, why we noticed.
Yeah, Tom Arleo is a neighbor of the Republican Commissioner Elizabeth Cree, who unfortunately is unable to be here tonight. But he approached her, I guess, toward the end of the summer and wanted to know if there was any way he could help out in the Board of Elections. I guess he was interested in the upcoming election and was kind of curious as to how an election is implemented. And so we found, being a very, very busy year, it wasn't hard to come up with some ideas on some things that he could do. There's a large amount of registrations and absentee ballot applications that we process in September and October. It's always good to have some people on hand that can proof the work that's done by our staff, and he spent a long hours proofing their work, helping looking at the absentee ballots, applications, making sure that a ballot was mailed out, to go along with the application. I think he learned a lot about, the different types of absentee ballots, particularly in a presidential election year. There's special presidential ballots, which are only used every 4 years. There's federal ballots, and there's people that have absentee ballots permanently. And I just think it's really great that to have a young person like Tom step forward in a year like this, when we could use the help and to volunteer their time. And he is one of the reasons why our election went off so smoothly in Tompkins County. And I want to thank you for your helping out.
Thanks.
Awesome.
I just want to ask Tom if he has anything to say, and I also want to acknowledge the other members of the family, Bettina, Rod, and I'm sorry I didn't get y'all's names.
James.
And Tim, and I understand there's members of the congregation in the back. I really appreciate you coming tonight, and I'd like to hear if you have anything to share with us.
I just wanted to thank Mrs. Cree. She nominated me for this award, so everyone at the Board of Elections is very nice, and they're really friendly. I just wanted to say I just didn't know how much effort and work went into the election thing. So, I was just surprised at how much effort goes into each election. So, thank you.
Before I give you the award, Tom, I'm going to embarrass you just a little bit more by telling everybody it's Tom's birthday today. He's 16. So, not that we knew ahead of time or anything. And I just want to say that the awards that I'm about to give you were made possible, as I mentioned again, although this isn't a commercial for Frank. Frank's remembering that it was such a wonderful idea, and enlisting the support of A&B Awards and Engraving, who provide the plaque, Bang's Ambulance Service, which provides some safety equipment and cooler, Purity Ice Cream, which has some dandy little surprises there, and the Cayuga Radio Group. So we want to thank our sponsors and thank the youth of this community for stepping forward. Just think, what an exciting year to do community service in an election year, in a presidential year, when youth got so involved. This is very cool. Once again, I want to thank you very much. Let me give you the plaque. Tompkins County Distinguished Youth Award presented to Tom Arleo in recognition, I'm going to give it to you in a second, in recognition of your outstanding commitment to your community in November 2008. Thank you very much, Tom. You really deserve it. Thank you. The rest of the goodies. You might need your brothers to help you carry all the loot. And don't hesitate to ask us here at the legislature if you'd like to offer to contribute any more service. We got tons for you. Thank you for your help, and congratulations.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Thanks,
Steve.
Now, I'd like everybody to join in a round of happy birthday. Thank you, Kathy. Are there other legislators who'd wish to speak on the privilege of the floor? Pam?
Yes, I would like to update my colleagues and our listeners. I went to Albany with a group of people from the Finger Lakes area who have been active in trying to get something done about the garbage transport trucks in our county. And we met with Tim Gilchrist from the governor's office, and then we spoke with a group of people over at DOT. And we have these draft. It was an article in the paper, and it was. I think it pretty much explained everything. But these draft regulations are before us, and we were concerned about the 25-mile limit. And anyway, they assured us through answers to our many questions, they assured us that they had really studied these routes that are being proposed to be excluded, and that they all are within less than 25 miles, so that they will not be eliminated because of that fact. It was a very interesting discussion that we had. And so, but what I want is I want people to look at this for themselves. And it's a rather large document, and we are have asked for a complete copy, including all the appendices, which are very important in this case. And I spoke with a reference librarian at the library who was very cooperative, and they're willing to take this copy that we're going to get, and it will be available in the library for anybody who wants to come and look at it. And also, there is the website, the New York State DOT website, which I don't know if we're going to be able to focus in on that. It's New York, NYS.gov/programs/truck policy. And then it is, then in the left column on that page is a title called Final Draft Environmental Assessment. And if you go there, it will give you all of the criteria that they used to making the decision for these roads. And I think you'll really find the information you need. It quite frankly, for Tompkins County, it eliminates Route 79, 89, and 96. And will, I think, in large part, drastically reduce the amount of through truck traffic that we have. I mean, not drastically, but it certainly they will. It will be limiting these. Now, the enforcement, of course, is another piece. But it is hopeful for us. But I think that the people who live in other parts of the county and other areas of the Finger Lakes, who are not part of this group, may see, unfortunately, an increase in truck traffic in their areas. So this is not a final, you know, the ultimate solution, but it is certainly a step, and hopefully we'll keep working on this and try and get these trucks just on a rail car. So that's my report from our trip.
Thank you, Pam, for representing us. Leslie.
Just blanked on what I needed to say. Is there somebody else, and then I'll remember?
Well, I can say the Arleos don't have to be held hostage for the whole meeting. If you want to exit, you don't have to stay here for the whole time.
Thank you, Martha. Martha just reminded me. I did want to announce the 2009 annual GEC Harvest Dinner, which is happening this Friday from 6 to 8 at the Beverly J. Martin Elementary School. You all are invited. It's free and open to the public. However, we do ask that if you're able to and you come, that you bring a dessert to share. But more importantly, if you have some time and would like to volunteer to help, either serve food with a smile to the 300-plus people who come by, or help cook or help clean up, please let me know, because we are always in need of volunteers. But you don't have to volunteer to come and sit and enjoy some food and mingle and meet some of your own constituents perhaps there and talk shop as well. So you can talk turkey and shop. So please come on down to the Beverly J. Martin Elementary School for that. The other thing I want to mention, and you'll get more information about this, is you must have, all of you might have read in the news that the Board of Public Works has approved the dual designation of State Street as Martin Luther King Jr. Street as well in the city of Ithaca. This vote will be going to City Council for its blessing as well. And so there's a good group of people who've been working on a bigger plan, not just the naming of the street. This is just the first part of an entire Freedom Walkway or something like that, honoring and respecting the works of Dr. Martin Luther King and so many others who followed in his footsteps, both locally and nationally, that will be recognized. So stay tuned for more information on the official unveiling and all the things that will happen. Thank you. Thanks for the woohoo, Kathy.
Jim Dennis?
Thank you, Michael. I wanted to announce to the legislature and also the employees of the county that we are involved with the city of Ithaca in a competition that has just been promulgated with the United Way. The United Way returns between the city and the county have been a little bit down this year, and the people in United Way, Lori Lynn and others, have asked us if we wanted to have a departmental competition between the city and the county. And what it amounts to is not so much about the dollar amount, but it's about the participation. And there are some prizes to be awarded at the end of it, I think a lunch or a breakfast. And you would have me show up because I'm the representative, and that might keep people from eating, but and other legislators and the mayor. And they would thank people for taking part in all of that. So it's going to begin this week sometime and last for about a month, and I think that it might go toward increasing the participation a little bit, and hopefully it will. The city has signed on already, and the county is signing on with me telling you this today. So I'm hoping that if you see department people and department heads, that you might encourage them to talk to their people. And we will be sending out emails and other things along those lines.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for being our rep. Frank Proto.
Thanks, Mike. Since we last met formally, we've had a Veterans Day ceremony and a parade, and I'd like to thank all of you that made it to the parade and those of you that made it to the ceremony at DeWitt Park. And just so you know, Martha and I actually had a cup of coffee after the ceremony. And Joe, the chair you're sitting in, we all had to do penance in. And guess what? You're the newest member around the table. So we've all had that experience over the years. Be careful.
Any other legislators? Carol Chalk?
Yeah, I just wanted to recognize the life of Cecilia Vargas.
That's what I was just about to do.
Is that, go ahead. Were you going to?
Just
okay.
Anyone
Who died in the last week. There'll be a celebration of her life on this Saturday at the Hilton Inn from 3 to 5. People are asked to come and wear brightly colored clothing and good memories. For those of you who knew and had the privilege to work with Cecilia, I knew her as not all that long-standing an immigrant to the U.S. As we had young kids together. And I hadn't seen her in many years, and she spent many years as a tireless worker on behalf of those following her and coming to the U.S. And I last saw her petitioning us, was it at the Budget Committee or one of the committee meetings, clearly struggling. Even a final struggle, but not wanting to give me information about that, not wanting to talk about that, but to talk about the incredible stories she had of people who had come to this country and were helped in really fairly minor ways and had taken off from the help that we as a county were able to give them through the Immigrant Services Program of Catholic Charities and build lives here. So I just, it was amazing, and she had an amazing life and worked tirelessly for others, and just wanted to recognize that.
Thank you, Carol. I had a service last Tuesday. Someone characterized her as a saint, and I think that's the closest, you know, characterization I think is very appropriate for her legacy in this community. Any other legislators? Leslie?
I was going to talk about Cecilia. Thank you, Carol. But I also do want to mention I had the opportunity to go this past Saturday to the Immigrant Services Program reception in honor of Cecilia, and the stories were rather moving. One of the things that I want to share, as we were talking about the distinguished youth who came and worked, seeing how important the election year was, Cecilia's children shared how important it was to her that she voted in this election. And in her bed at the hospital. She said, I will cast my absentee ballot. And not only would I cast it, but can the hospital make sure everybody else who's here gets an opportunity to do that? And I think Steve can attest to that a number of the patients at the hospital were able to do the same thing. Mm. And even on her bed, as she knew that her days were numbered, she was still working tirelessly for people's rights and people's ability to make change. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned that in addition to the things that Carol said. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Seeing no others, we'll move on.
Mike.
Nathan,
I have to pull. Is it time to... Did you guys already...
No, we haven't gotten there yet.
We haven't gotten there. Never mind.
In a minute. Are there any municipal officials here? Report from municipal officials? I don't see any there. No special presentations. For chair's report, I'll just refer you to the chair's appointments that are in your folders. For the CSCA white-collar negotiating team, I'll be appointing Jim Dennis, Julie Kiefer as our reps from the legislature, Anita Fitzpatrick or her designee from the county personnel staff, and Joe Mariana, county administrator, as needed. He'll start out and be on call when the number crunching is desperate. For Council 82 Corrections Negotiating Team, Jim Dennis as our legislative member, Anita Fitzpatrick or designee, Peter Meskel as sheriff, Rick Tubbs as undersheriff, and again, Joe Mariana as county administrator. I'd like to also report, and I think maybe Joe will amplify on this a little bit, that on the 18th of December, we are planning a department head legislative retreat. We, in 2007, had two of these on different topics, and we had anticipated throughout the year to have them quarterly to address a variety of topics throughout the county functioning, whether it's budget, whether it's, rallying around an internal need. And from 4:30 to 6:30, that's a Thursday, 2 days after our last legislative meeting. Mm-hmm. I believe we're going to be meeting in Town Hall. And in general, the topics are looking at our approaches to the New York State budget, potential impacts, performance management, and then general internal communications. So we'll get more of an agenda, but I just want to get it on your schedule.
December 18th?
Yes, it's a Thursday.
We have a TCAT board meeting at 4 o'clock. Can you say what time that is again?
4:30 to 6:30.
That's on November.
We were going to talk about F&I on Thursday.
The tentative TCAT board meeting on the 18th.
Okay, well, if those can't be bumped, I know F&I was considering moving because they wanted to meet.
We were going to talk on Thursday. We haven't quite
possibly meet before the second meeting in December of the legislature. Yeah. But if they can't be moved, please let me know. On to report from County Administrator. Joe.
Yeah, I have just a very brief report tonight to update you on the status of the state budget. I think many of you, probably all of you, saw the correspondence from NYSAC on your desks this evening, and I think you probably know that nothing has happened in Albany on the governor's proposals. I think there were efforts made over the course of the weekend and today to do something, but apparently that came to naught. Since we met, the governor did release a series of proposals on how he suggested that the state reduce the budget by $1.5 billion this year. With respect to how that budget would affect the county, it does appear the governor respected the concerns of counties that the budget not simply shift state costs to county budgets by pulling back the state's contribution to mandated programs. There was none of that activity in the recommendations proposed by the governor. There were obviously some impacts that would affect our community if those proposals were to have passed. TC3, and I know President Haynes is here, would have taken a significant reduction in FTE aid, which is their basic bread and butter form of aid. I think the impact would have been between $600,000 and $800,000 annually if those cuts had been implemented. A 1% proposed reduction in the cost of living increase for human service providers that we contract with. We don't have a dollar and cents assessment of that yet. It doesn't look to be significant, but again, that was a part of the package. And certainly in the community, school aid would have been significantly affected mid-year, as would Medicaid reimbursement rates, which would have affected those in the healthcare industry. So those were really the core changes that were proposed by the governor. But again, as of The beginning of this meeting this afternoon, the state has apparently decided that nothing will happen on those cuts, at least for now. I think the prevailing belief is that nothing will happen until the governor releases his proposed budget on December 16th for next year. Also, in terms of state budget, many of you participated in some one-on-one briefings that we did with members of our own state legislative delegation. Patricia Carey, I, and several of you did visit with Barbara Lifton and George Winter late last week to explain our concerns about budget changes, about the desire not to shift costs to property taxpayers by shifting mandated burdens to us. Provided some insights about programs that we deliver with the help of state aid so that there were faces on those programs, and left them with a tool that would help them assess the impact that actions in Albany would have on our budget, either in the form of tax rate changes or personnel changes, which I think was very helpful. So we plan to continue those one-on-ones as the days go by, and certainly before December 16th happens, we'll probably make another round of visits. That's my report.
Thank you. Martha, then Frank.
Yeah, I want to thank you, Joe, for the materials that you provided to Barbara Lifton meeting. And I didn't look at the spreadsheet on the computer yet, but like every one page after another was information that, gee, this is great. We've never had this information before, and it was really very useful, a really excellent analysis, and then the interactive spreadsheet will be very helpful, you know, when the time comes. So I want to thank you.
Thank you.
Frank?
Could we all get copies of that, Joe?
Certainly. Sure.
Okay. The thing I wanted to ask you about was the impact on between now and the 16th of December. Will you have a chance to call Rob McKenzie up at the hospital? The impact of the Medicaid shift, if that does come to fruition, or some piece of it does, the potential for the loss of federal dollars because of the match from the feds, is there some way that you can touch base with him just to find out if we're going to get blessed with that one? Because that could be an indirect effect on us.
Yes, I'll do that.
Frank, if I can answer that, a little bit of that. Haney's sent out information on that to all hospitals. They're the hospital association that represents them, and I think the impact is about $2 million.
Was how much?
$2 million, I believe.
But was that for Tompkins? For
it was for Cayuga Medical Center, strictly. Yeah.
Because the one that I saw didn't have Cayuga Medical Center on it. That's why I'm asking.
This one was from Haney's.
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, thanks, Nathan. We'll do a little follow-up.
Any other questions? Jim?
No questions. I just want to commend the county administrator and the people who went over to see these legislators, and we should not remain strangers with those people, and include Legislator Seward also. I think yes. It's the way to go, and we need to do it whenever we can.
We've made efforts to outreach to Seward and Nozzolio, and we're still trying to get through and set dates. Nathan?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that was also a fantastic meeting, and I think everybody did a good job. Joe, especially, that was the packet of information was fantastic. There was even a disc, a CD, that was included in the packet that was given to Assemblywoman Lifton, that you could actually, like, as numbers were being updated, you could alter the database, that Excel spreadsheet, and it would update numbers on how it would affect the county. I mean, just really remarkable stuff. Also, of course, all the other legislators there will attend did a great job as well. Mike, Martha, Carol, Mike Sigler.
And Pam joined us for the George Winter visit on Friday. If there's no further comments or applause, we'll move on to county adjournments.
No report.
And David Squire was finance director.
Well, you'll be deliberating on the budget tonight. I wanted to report about sales tax credits that will be incorporated into the budget. When you adopt the budget, some towns' tax rates will be different because they take sales tax. And I wanted to bring this up because the sales tax has grown this year, it will impact the sales tax credit that's applied to Danby and to Caroline and to Newfield. It'll impact it substantially. So that's good news, and that will drive down the county tax rate in those towns. Also, the town of Groton has elected to take less sales tax, which will cause, all things being equal, an increase proportionally in the tax rate in the town of Groton. It's kind of confusing things, but it's beneficial for the towns to take sales tax when there are a lot of state parklands in that town, because the state will pay the town for parklands, but it won't pay county taxes on parkland. So it benefits them. And also say we got the sales tax for the month of October, and it's holding steady. It didn't go down, which is, you know, we were projecting a dramatic decline in the fourth quarter. And so I'm happy to report the first month of the quarter is up about 2% over last year. So we've got two more months to sweat out.
Yeah. Thank you, David. I don't think we have a report from other county staff. Are there any resolutions to be added or withdrawn from the agenda?
Yes, I have a resolution L to be withdrawn. We postponed that by 2 weeks to have a more lengthier discussion about the additional 1% sales tax. And we've invited the city as well to participate in that discussion. And that discussion will take place at the end of our meeting.
I understand it's going to go through the Council of Governments as well this week.
Okay, fantastic.
All right, we'll move on to consent agenda. These are resolutions not expected to be controversial that can pass in a single vote. I'll read off the appointments and then the resolutions. For appointments, we have Criminal Justice Advisory Alternatives to Incarceration Board, Tom Boyce. And for terms beginning January 1st, Community Mental Health Services Board, Harper Gamian, thank you. And Environmental Management Council, Tony Neckett and Larry Sharpstein. For resolutions, for the Government Operations Committee, Resolution A, establishing county equalization rates. B, adoption of regular and supplemental reports of totals, that is, footings of assessment rolls. C, return school taxes. D, return village taxes. E, adoption of apportionment of taxes for 2009. And for Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Resolution F, authorizing a public hearing for adoption of the energy and greenhouse gas emission element as an amendment to the county comprehensive plan.
Off.
That's off. Okay. Who would like to move the consent agenda? Julie moves it. Martha seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. We'll just proceed through the regular agenda, again, expeditiously, hopefully. Human Resources Committee, Jim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you, Michael. We had a meeting last month. A few weeks ago, we discussed, again, the evaluation for the four directs, and we will be doing something more on that and getting back to you with that. Also, two members of the Personnel Committee used the performance evaluation system on the outgoing county administrator. I think it was Dooley and Will, and he's not here, so it must have worked. At some point. At any rate, that we will be hearing about that. And we are, Mike says, we're beginning negotiations again. And there was one other thing, it's a question I have for Gio. We had a resolution on about the reconfiguration of the county clerk personnel department, and we passed that. Did Gio discuss that and move on that at the last meeting?
Yes.
It's never come to the Gio agenda.
Okay.
It was approved by GL last Friday.
Last Friday.
Wait, I wasn't at the meeting.
Okay. All right. It was approved, but...
Actually, I guess it has been.
Okay. It's not on the agenda, though, right?
It was acted on favorably.
Okay. All right. Good.
It'll be on our next meeting.
Okay. Fine. I think the feeling between the two departments was that it would hopefully 1-1-0-9,
yes.
That would all take place. So thank you for that. I appreciate that.
I think the reason it got held up is it's going to budget next Monday.
Okay. That concludes my report.
Thank you. There's no questions for Jim. Move on to Government Operations Committee. Mike Hattery, Chair.
The committee met on Friday. And I was going to mention that I wasn't there, but I don't think I need to now. So it was skillfully chaired by Vice Chair Kiefer. There are two items which are not bound up in resolutions either on the consent agenda or that I'm going to introduce here that were discussed. One is the intent to bring forth a resolution to move forward with the Core Performance Initiative, which should be coming out of GO in December. And the committee also deferred one more time on setting legislative compensation for the future.
We need you here for that.
Yeah. Other than that, I will introduce Resolution G, appropriation from contingent fund replacement pay Department of Assessment.
And a second, Greg Stevenson. Is there discussion? This is a short form roll call.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Ms. Ferreira?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to be recorded as a no? That's unanimous. On to H.
Introduce Resolution H, appropriation from contingent fund, terminal pay reimbursement, Tompkins County Administration.
And this is revised version?
Yes, the revised.
Yes.
Is there a second? Pam McAsey, is there discussion? This is also a short form roll call vote.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Ms. Ferreira?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to be recorded as no? That looks like it's unanimous. On to I.
Introduce Resolution I, authorizing the county administrator to enter into a lease for property located on Elmira Road in Ithaca.
Is there a second? Greg Stevenson. Is there discussion? Kathy Lou Serrera.
As is my custom with this resolution, I'll be voting against it. If you see in the second whereas, it says that the property is no longer needed for public use. I believe that it's in the best interest of the county to retain this property and not put it under lease. So I'll be voting against this.
Any further discussion? Jim Dennis and then Dooley.
Could someone in 25 words or less tell me what this is?
Is county attorney
out of the room momentarily. There is a very narrow strip of land near the Benderson development on Route 13, very near where the sign
that's,
is.
That's good, 25. I know what you're talking about. Thank you.
Okay. I think I lost track of who was next. I have Dooley, then Carol.
At the Government Operations Committee, this resolution was moved to have a 5-year lease because it keeps coming back to us every year. And because nothing would have come out of committee that would have had a split 2-2 vote, this has come out of committee and reached the floor. Since this sliver of property serves a purpose that many of us think is worth preserving by continuing to control this sliver of property, I would like to amend this resolution to have it be a 5-year lease.
In the resolve, is there a second? Pam McAsey? Discussion on the amendment to 5 years. Carol Chop.
That was going to be my question. Why not do this longer? It seems like it comes back every year. You spend time on it. I'd be in favor of doing it for a 5-year period.
Okay. Greg Stevenson?
I don't support extending the length of this lease. The county attorney has recommended numerous times in my short tenure here that this property be sold by us. I think that we should do that. If we're bound and determined to go into a lease, I favor a shorter lease rather than a longer lease.
We're about to vote on changing it to 5 years. We're prepared to vote. Frank Proto.
John, is there any downside to doing it for 5 years?
Well, there might be. One, the number that we pick, which is $2,000 a year, is not really based. It's just what we agreed to. If we were to sell it, we might get more than that, or hopefully we'd get considerably more than that. So there's a possibility that if the legislature wants to sell it, we could get more money, and thus we lock ourselves into getting less money. That would be the downside. I've only discussed with the company doing it for 1 year. I'm sure they wouldn't object to doing it for 5 years, but I think if the legislature is interested in selling it, we'd probably be to our financial advantage to not do 5 years.
Thank you.
Will?
Question for Dooley. Is it your understanding, Dooley, that if we lease it for any period of time, that we can stipulate public access to that property? Or are we essentially, for the period of lease, giving away that right?
I think that we can stipulate that, but I would ask Jonathan to comment on that.
Okay.
Well, I should say, I mean, you know, in my opinion, this area is totally unsafe for public access. Let me begin by that. But as part of the agreement, one of the reasons it's important to have it is they agree to indemnify and defend us in case there's an accident or something like that, which is a real possibility given that it's a heavily trafficked area. So one of the reasons why we want to have it locked up in a lease, even if it's not for a lot of money, is to make sure that we're indemnified and defended, and God forbid there's an accident, serious injury or death there, it's not the responsibility of the county, but theirs. That would naturally limit what we can do there because, you know, if they're going to indemnify and defend us, they're clearly not going to allow anybody to do anything there, or certainly not anything which would be unsafe.
On the amendment to 5 years, are you ready to vote? All in favor of the amendment? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed? 6. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I counted 6 to 8, but I probably counted wrong. Could those who are opposed raise?
6 ayes.
There must be 9 noes. Okay, that fails, 6 to 9. And we're back to the main motion of extending the lease for 1 year. This is, what's that, Carol?
That might have been 7 yeses.
Could those in favor of extending the lease for 5 years, please raise your hand again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yep. So 6 in favor and the rest are noes. Back to the 1 year lease. Further discussion? You ready to vote? All in favor as the resolution aye without the amendment. 1 year lease. And opposed? That passes 14 to 1. Michael, two? Michael, is your hand up for a question or for voting against?
For a question.
Okay. Question.
Can I make a motion from the floor that we sell this property?
Given that it's been debated for a number of years, I think you should take that to committees.
Well, it won't get through committee.
a member filed resolution is always a possibility.
It's too small for a billboard.
Pam.
I won't fit it on there, Frank.
I just had a follow-up question for Jonathan because I'm a little confused. Jonathan, is it your legal opinion that having a lease, or is it your personal opinion that having a lease for 5 years is not a good idea? I didn't quite understand the legal implications that you were suggesting by opposing the 5-year lease.
No, I wasn't opposing the 5-year lease. I didn't make any legal point. The only thing I was saying is that if this legislature wants to sell it by tying it up for 5 years, we would limit the ability to do that. And I believe if the legislature wants to sell it, we would make more money than that $10,000 we'd get over the 5 years. So that was the opinion. That's not a legal opinion, but I haven't talked with them over many years, and I have very good reason to believe we get more money.
My understanding is the action has been taken. We're not going to keep debating this.
I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, I understand.
Further clarification, then. If
those who want to buy it or those who hold the current lease, I assume then, is it correct that we would still have the capability of selling it should they want to
They would like to clear this title issue up. For them, it's a title issue, and they would like to clear it up. At the moment, they're clearing it up 1 year at a time, but it would be to their, I think they'd like to clear it up on a permanent basis.
But having a lease with the same people who might want to buy it does not prevent them from buying it and ending the lease.
No, because they'd like to do that.
No further clarification questions? Okay, we're going to move on. Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee. Martha Robertson, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. We met on Thursday, November 13th. We had, just skip to a couple of highlights. We had a good discussion with Michael Stam and Martha Armstrong from TCAD about local economic conditions. And some feedback that they're getting from local banks, from employers, from businesses. And I could go into some of that if folks are interested. We did get assurance. In a couple of forums, we've heard that the Cornell grants of $10 million for transportation and $10 million for housing projects is not in jeopardy, and so that was repeated at the meeting, PDQ as well, that they, even with the economic conditions that are stressing Cornell as well as everybody else, they're not backing down on that commitment at all. So we were pleased about that. We spent a long time discussing the IDA's membership. At the October meeting of the IDA, we revised the bylaws, and most of those revisions can go through and are not subject to any sort of review by the legislature. However, membership designations, the slots of different members on the IDA, are subject to the authority of the legislature and not the IDA. Specifically. So there was a fairly intricate conversation about that, and we didn't make a decision. We decided to, Frank, like my word, incubate on the discussion, and I think Mike Kaplinkler and I will probably work on a resolution to come back to the committee next month. Just very briefly, right now, the IDA membership is four legislators and one representative from TCAD, the TCAD board, and two at large. The revision that the IDA is recommending would be three legislators, one elected official from a municipality, one elected school board official, one TCAD, and one at large. So I'll be happy to talk to anybody about that also. Much of the meeting was spent talking about the energy and greenhouse gas emissions element that's been worked on by, developed by staff as an amendment to the comprehensive plan. And I'll get to that motion for the public hearing in a minute. And we heard from Ed about his thoughts on windmill setbacks, and folks can ask him about that too later if they'd like. So those are just a couple of the highlights.
Questions before the resolution is moved. Kathy, then Michael.
Thank you. This is actually a a local cheerleading. How many people got emails from family and friends who noticed the article in the New York Times about, in the real estate section, about the relative, that's waving. Excellent coverage in the New York Times about the value of real estate here relative to other areas, what a good value it is, and how many alums from IC and Cornell come back here to live. So I got emails from all over the country and one from outside the country. So somebody up there at TCAD or in the tourism is doing their job very, very well. I don't know who is responsible. Maybe we all are.
Mike Hattery.
I just wanted to ask permission to revisit the IDA appointment issue later. We got guests waiting, and I didn't want to talk about it now. Could we revisit it later?
Sure, I'll allow that.
Okay, fine. And
I have one other quick question before we move the resolution. Did you address the TCAT appointment by any chance? I didn't know if you were going to add it to the agenda. Well, we can deal with that in December.
Yeah, I'll go back to Resolution F, authorizing public hearing for adoption of the energy and greenhouse gas emissions element as an amendment to the county comprehensive plan. And this is just to set the public hearing.
So moved. Is there a second? Pam Magasey, any discussion?
So there was lots of discussion at the committee, and you know we will get a presentation on December 2nd from planning. So just to move the public hearing, so I don't need to go into the rest.
Public hearing will be December 2nd if this passes. Frank Proto.
Thanks, Mike. The reason I ask that this be pulled is as I expressed at the committee meeting, I don't think that this is ripe for us to even have the public hearing on. While the staff has done a laudable job in putting it material together, I raised some questions regarding the impact on our departments, and I have to admit that the committee was gracious in changing some of the wording, particularly in regard to a proposal in the seeker designation pertaining to TCAT, T-C-A-T. I think we need a little more study on what the potential, and even though Ed Marks mentioned that this is something that would take place over a 20-year period, I think that's the number you used, Ed, with everyone so pensive about financial impacts, I think we need to know what the impact of some of these proposals are with regard to our own departments, and also if there are any other agencies like TCAT that might be affected by some of the recommendations. Had I not brought that up, I doubt that anybody else would have. And the reading that I did in there indicated that TCAT was going to be asked to extend routes. And to the best of my recollection, and Pam, I think I even put you on the spot at the meeting. Pam chairs what we used to call the Operations Committee. I don't know what it's called now at TCAT, which is responsible. Thank you for the route layout. And I'm on the board as well, so is Kathy Herrera. To the best of my recollection, the discussion between planning and TCAT had not taken place at the time of our planning committee meeting. Perhaps it's taken place since then, but I certainly wasn't involved in it. And we've been deliberating at TCAT, and this is only one example, by the way. I'm not saying I'm opposed to us considering this, but I think with the impact that it could have on our departments, we need a little more study here. We need to know, as best as Ed or whoever on staff is putting this proposal together can do it, we need to know what the potential financial impacts of this change might be. It's as simple as that. And that's why I opposed it in committee, and that's why I don't think this is ready for a public hearing.
I have Pam, then Kathy, then back to Martha.
Well, I raised my hand even before Frank said anything because I just think this is an excellent plan. I think it's well thought through. There was a lot of public comment, and it's a very exciting plan. I reached a different conclusion than Frank did. I don't think that it commits departments and agencies like TCAT to any specific action. I think it talks about things that we would like to accomplish, so I don't think that this will be a problem. But I just strongly encourage everybody to read this before we bring it next time, because it's really a pretty amazing document.
Kathy, then Martha, then Dooley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to applaud Frank for his close reading of the document, and as Pam said, this should probably motivate municipalities and organizations to go over it with a fine-tooth comb prior to the public hearing on December 2nd. I'm going to support this. I agree that there may be things in here that everybody doesn't agree with, and that the fact that these are recommendations is the part that I think is important and to be stressed. The other reason that I think that we can act on this now is that it's a template. It's not the recommendations, they're not requirements, but it's a guideline to help us as a county figure out how to get through, how to navigate these straits that we're in, because if we don't have a plan, we're not going to do very well. And so I'm going to support this.
If people don't understand what's being referred to, there was a memo in your boxes dated November 14th regarding about 7 pages. Martha, Julie, then Carol.
More or less the same idea that Kathy just expressed, but this is in the same way that the comprehensive plan itself is not an allocation or approval of any specific project. It's a policy document that guides all the work that our staff does. So the same is true of this new element, that it does not specifically commit any agency or staff to do any specific thing. It will guide all the players involved in what the as a policy. This is what the county stands for and what the county would like to see developed. And then every one of those action items goes through a process of its own. So there's plenty of time for interaction with TCAT and other agencies to say, well, this is a great goal, but we can't do it this year, or we need more funding for that. And that's sort of an iterative process. So I'm glad we're not talking about the element itself tonight. But anyway, and I agree with Pam that it's a really terrific piece of work.
Further discussion on the public hearing. Julie Kiefer, Carol Chalk.
This is not on the public hearing, but Frank, where in this document is the language that concerns you about TCAT?
I'd be happy to show you afterwards. It's in the part of the SEAKER piece, which we will have to vote on before we vote on the plan itself at the next meeting.
Has that been passed out to us yet?
I don't know. We got it at planning. I don't know if the rest of the board got it in their package.
Because I don't see it in the document we have.
Carol Chalk.
Yeah, when Frank asked this question in committee, I actually thought it was a very good question, and it's one that I often ask about. I share his concern to ask about all of the resolutions that we're passing, what will it cost us? And the reason that I think that this is a good idea to go ahead and have the public hearing and pass the plan, but to hear the public's input, to me what this plan does is create a framework for discussion of the true long-range costs of the actions that we take. When you take into account what are the greenhouse and gas emissions costs as we look over time. So that to me it's not a question that this will cost us anything in the short run, that we won't have to come back and pass resolution by resolution if we're going to change TCAT routes, for example. This plan does not, by caveat, change the routes. It provides the framework for discussion of what's the true long-range costs of having routes the way we have versus maybe some other routes or on the other elements in similar ways. So for that reason, because I do think that it addresses costs in a long run, not only a short run, I think we ought to go ahead.
Are we ready to vote on Resolution F, setting a public hearing on December 2nd, 5:30? If so, all in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed? That passes with 3 opposed. Thank you, Martha. And on to Budget and Capital Committee, Nathan Shinagawa, Chair.
Thank you, Mike. Budget and Capital Committee met last Monday. Started off with a number of issues. We talked about the additional 1% sales tax and decided that we would wait on that resolution, as I had mentioned earlier, to next Monday. So we're having that discussion next Monday it's scheduled for about 5 o'clock or 5:15. And really that's just to, obviously it's part of the budget right now. But but we thought it would be a good time on Legislator Kathy Lucero's recommendation as well, that it was a good time, if any, to talk about this and the effect of sales tax on the citizens of Tompkins County. And so we'll be doing that. We also had a discussion, a very long discussion, about TC3. We have two resolutions here today about that. And instead of talking about that, I will actually talk about it when I bring up those resolutions. I think those are the big things. Oh, and we also talked about the legislature and department head meeting as well. And so that was when it went over what happened in the meeting, and I'm going to start out now with the resolutions. I have resolution J.
Excuse me.
Other questions first? Frank.
Yes, sir.
Nathan, some of us were involved in crafting that 1%
yes.
arrangement with the city. Unfortunately, next Monday, and this is something I probably should have announced under Martha's report,
yeah.
at 4 o'clock next Monday
yeah.
at the Board Warner Room, we're having the representatives from the oil and gas industry come and talk to us about gas well drilling, which is something everyone wanted us to put together.
Yeah.
Instead of having different advisory boards do that, we compressed it into several advisory boards. And unfortunately, that's probably going to go longer than the 5 o'clock portion of your
sure.
meeting.
Yeah.
Is this the only time that you're going to... You're not proposing that something come out of this meeting other than an extension of the existing agreement?
No, yeah, I don't think anything else.
Because I certainly would like yeah. to participate in that discussion.
I think it's more seen by the committee as an opportunity to discuss this issue and to talk about the sales tax.
Okay,
but I don't think any action other than the one already proposed will take place.
The second item on your agenda for Monday
yep.
is the item 12, requesting the legislature to amend the section of the sale of the room tax to
yes.
extend it for economic development.
That's right. That is a proposal from Legislator Mike Hattery, and I'm sure he can explain it better than I can. But we will be having that as part of our discussion.
Is there
Frank? Can you remind me what time that is again?
Your meeting?
Yeah. No. What time that will be on the agenda?
Your meeting's at 3:30.
Yes, I know it's at 3:30, but what time is that part of the discussion happening? I forgot.
4:25.
4:25. Yeah.
And you expect to get that done in 5 minutes, by the way.
Yeah.
Just thought
it's, some things take less time. Yeah.
Is there any other backup yeah. material? Maybe I should ask Mike this question. Is
yes.
there any other backup material to that other than what's in the packet?
Other than what's in the packet, Mike?
I'm not sure what you received, Frank. In the full packet for the committee, there's about a 4 or 5 page packet that I put together regarding this proposal.
Any other questions for Nathan before our resolutions? Martha, then Carol.
Just to answer Frank on that, Mike told me before this meeting, Mike Hattery told me before this meeting that should this get out of budget, you'll plan to bring it to PDQ? Is that the idea? Or in any case?
I think this is on the agenda as a discussion item.
No, there's also an action piece to it. It's a discussion. Item 11 is a discussion. Item 12 is action. It says...
Okay, well, I took a quick look at the agenda today, but I only saw the discussion. Anyway, there is a proposed resolution that would require... The proposed change in language, request for change in language in state law to go through both budget, capital, and PDQ.
So we'll get a look
at it. On to Carol Chung.
Yeah, and actually, that discussion will happen around 4, not necessarily 4:25.
Carol Chung.
Since there seems to be some interest in this, I'm also interested in that discussion, actually both of those discussions, but in particular the tax discussion, and it conflicts with that. For several of us on PDQ, can we ask that you consider moving up that part of your agenda to the closer to the 3:30 time slot so that we can make
well, it'll still come to PDQ,
yeah, you, you'll have
what I heard them
yeah,
say
at
one of our, at Martha's meeting.
Oh,
yeah. Did I understand that correctly?
That's right, yeah.
yeah.
On okay. to your resolutions.
All right. I'm going to start off with Resolution J, endorsing Tompkins Court Lake Community College electrical panel replacement project. And I'll explain this once I have
this
a
is
second.
The revised?
The revised, yes.
And is there a second?
And the change to the revised is just the seeker action.
Correct. Seconded by Dooley Kiefer.
All right.
Want to explain?
Yes. There are two proposals from TC3 tonight, or two resolutions that we're looking at. And the principal issue with both of these is state funding. We need... to lock in state funding. As you know, there's a lot of state funding is in limbo at this moment, and these two resolutions will help us lock in those funds into the future. The first project, the electrical panel replacement project, and I'm sure Carl and Jim. Jim can explain this further. But basically, over the summertime, TC3 had an issue with its electric. I don't know much about this stuff, but the electrical panels at TC3, and it was deemed a serious enough issue to replace the system. Replacing the system would cost about $1.6 million to do so. Carl believes that we can secure SUNY funding for this, and they could cover about 50% of it. But the remaining $800,000 or so would have to come from the counties. We are. Of that $800,000, we would pay approximately
30% of the total.
30% of the total, right. And so that would end up being, once we bond that out, about a debt service of about $45,000 a year. What we decided at that meeting is that the committee was comfortable supporting this project. Right, so we voted it onto the legislature, supporting this project and supporting this resolution to secure state funding. However, there is there's an agreement that the college will work with the legislature on the timing of that project. So that project may not start until, say, 2010. Because there was people were unsure about starting that project in 2009 because it would affect the 2009 budget doing so, because we have a fiscal policy that states that we need to acknowledge those costs in the year in which we begin them. And so we are pushing this resolution now. What it does is it asks the state for these funds, and we have an agreement with TC3 that we'd like to engage in this project in the future, in possibly 2010, but definitely in a time frame in which Ed and the legislature is able to incorporate it into the capital into the 20-year capital plan. And is that an accurate description of kind of what happened with that, budget committee members, Carl?
We can answer more details questions if you have them. Or
sure.
Jim's here to answer. Further, the electrical project itself.
Yeah. And do you want me to also just talk about the next project too?
No, it's kind of
take them one at a time.
All right.
Thanks, Gordo.
Nathan, do you mind if I ask Dave Squires a question?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Quick math, 30% of $800,000 works out to about...
No, it's 30% of the $1.6 million.
Oh, I thought it was 30% of the remaining $800,000.
No. Our share is more than Corlin
right.
County.
We want 60.
David. How much and how many years will it take us to? What are we looking at in amending the capital program? And can we add this to a bond that we already have, or are we going to have to go for a new bond?
It would require a new bond. Because it wasn't described in the master plan authorization. The high end, it would cost about $45,000 a year to fund the local share if we bonded the approximately $500,000 local share.
What kind of rate do you think we'll get?
Well, you know, the market's kind of. Bonds are, I would expect that if we issue bonds in the near future, the rates would be probably in the 4.5% range.
And what does it cost us to do one of these? For a bonding attorney and all that business?
The cost of when you add in publication and official statement, you know, it's very cost effective to combine them with something else, but. Typically, it's about $1,500 to do for the bond attorney's fee to handle the transaction. The publication's more expensive than the actual legal work.
Other questions? Kathy Lou Herrera.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What has gone unsaid so far is that there was quite a bit of discussion about this, and I'm an electrician, and I voted against this. I had a number of questions, some of which Frank has asked right now, and if you listen closely to the answers, what I heard was, after telling department heads and organizations associated with the county throughout this budget season, no, no, and no, particularly with regard to the way that our capital program is laid out, coming forward with this now, as much as I sympathize for it, it's very difficult for me to say yes. I wanted to find out more about it, and I would like to clarify that I don't believe the incident that is referred to in anecdotally in the committee and that we're basing this action on is as recent as was estimated. In fact, I think that this may have happened in the summer of 2007, and as urgent as I think that the electrical panel replacement may be, it clearly wasn't urgent enough to require immediate action. And what I have to weigh, and what I always have to weigh, despite the fact that I'm an electrician and I'd love for electricians to get some work, is the good of the taxpayers. And when we're saying no to so many other departments, and when we're saying we have a process, that's the P word again, it's really difficult. Even though I know that there's probably some extenuating circumstances, so what I hoped for was to hear what the extenuating circumstances were that would make it reasonable for us to add to the capital program, to borrow some more money in a time when it's really hard, and why now? As it turns out, this project isn't even being scheduled for now, and in as transparent as I can give with this kind of confusing situation, it looks like what we're being asked to do, maybe it's with this one, maybe it's with the other one, is just promise that we'll support it when the time comes, and it may be a couple of years from now, which, although it makes it possibly more palatable, it makes it all the more mysterious to me. In addition, the revision to say seeker action only is confusing to me because it makes it sound as though what we're approving is not the bonding and not the capital portion of the program, but only changing or...
No, the revised is only the seeker action change. All the other wording is the same. It's just trying to point out that that's the only change.
Okay. So, basically, we're still doing all those things.
Correct.
I hope there's some new information. I was the lone no vote at budget, although lots of discomfort was revealed. And I tell you what, it takes, I think, a little bit of... guts to stand up here as a construction person and tell you, I don't think this is a good commitment of taxpayer money right now. So somebody provide me with some new information or explain why the line should be jumped in this situation.
I have Leslin, Nathan, Mike Hattery, then Martha.
I was hoping that there was a response to Kathy's question. Yeah, that might help.
Nathan, do you have some?
That's what I was going to do.
Okay, Nathan.
Yeah. The point of this resolution is that, and Kathy did get it right in the sense that this is to, in a way, we are saying that we're committed to this project at some point in the future. But the reason why we're doing it that way is so that we can secure that 50% of state funding, which will save taxpayers tremendous amounts of dollars, because this project is needed. We will likely have to do it, and it would be great if we can do it with 50% state funding rather than not. And if I could actually ask Carl or Jim to actually talk about this project, why it's needed at this time. And I believe this happened during April of 2008, wasn't it, when this electrical panel...
I'm not exactly sure of the date, but it was a year ago in the summer. Kathy's correct on the approximate timing. And the reason why it's taken this time is because for a whole year we didn't have a director of facilities. And we just didn't have any way of really assessing what was needed, how serious the matter was, and so on. And I think the Budget and Finance Committee heard Jim speak to this. Jim's got not only an engineering background, but a background as an electrical engineer. So the equipment that we have, we did have an explosion during the construction. It was potentially life-threatening to the person that was there at the time. We have to, there's a series of panels. It's a distribution system within the campus. It was a series of panels throughout. And I'll let Jim, I'm getting quickly into an area that I'm not very expert on, so I'll let Jim speak to that part of it. But the timing on this is that Jim came on board this spring and started looking at this along with a whole lot of pent-up other projects that we had on campus that we're also looking at, alternative energy and a variety of other things that really, obviously aren't on your agenda here. We have talked to SUNY about this, and when we got the cost figures sorted out, they did assure us they do have some funding available for what they refer to as emergency life safety, public safety kinds of matters. And from their standpoint, this project does qualify for that kind of funding, assuming we have the local sponsor support. The Joe and I talked the other day about that timing issue, as we talked about at the committee. And once the funding is locked in, it's there. There isn't any compelling reason why we have to spend it right away, other than the nature of the project. And I think in this case, having the money locked in, if we did have one of these other panels did go out, the contingent liability that we have at the college is that they don't make this equipment anymore, as Kathy pointed out, and she affirmed it herself, and we would probably be a week, 10 days, without some part of our building having power. And depending on when that would occur, that could be a real problem. And as well as, if we don't secure the state funding, we wouldn't have any money either. We'd have to take it out of operating dollars, and operating dollars are very, very difficult to deal with right now. So what this does is it allows us to get that money locked in. We can then work with the county administrator to determine what is the best year. And if we did have an emergency with one of these panels and had to do something, at least we'd have the money to do something about it. I would like to have Jim maybe just speak a little bit more to the substance of the project itself, because I can't really do justice to that. But this is Jim Turner, who's our director of facilities, and kind of describe the project for you.
The distribution systems up at the college, when it was originally built, its original equipment, the equipment that was installed is Federal Pacific Electric. They're no longer in business. At best, they were marginal. At worst, they were dangerous. There's no other nicer way to put it. There's been problems with this, not only that we've experienced, but throughout the country, this equipment sits around, and there's been numerous instances of where panels have blown up like ours have. The equipment right now, as Carl alluded to, we have no replacement parts for them. The equipment's no longer made. In order to make repairs when one of the breakers switches fail, we have to order it from another manufacturer and then basically rebuild the equipment that's on site. There's a delay in getting equipment. We're down. If it occurs again, we'd be down for periods of time. The way the system is set up, the electricity comes in through main breakers, switches. Those we look at. The risk of them having to operate is very, very small. We're willing to accept that risk, and we took those out of the picture. It goes to another layer of larger switches, which are the ones that we're talking about replacing, and they in turn feed panels much like you have in your circuit breaker panels, much like you have in your house. Those are the ones that we're talking about. We're not talking about changing any of the transformers in the buildings that feed some of the panels. If we were to lose a panel, at best, we would lose a section of the building for probably about a week's worth of time. I've checked. That's with some of the smaller panels. If we lose equipment on the main distribution, we're probably going to have sections of the building that are going to be out for weeks at a time.
That was
the main reason. One of the reasons that, and we've talked about this, we're checking on the equipment. I'm doing some infrared tests on breakers and things, which helps us as the temperature starts to rise. It tells us that we have a problem. So I'm doing some monitoring on that just to make sure that we don't get surprised. So,
Thank you, Jim.
They do need to be replaced.
Yeah. And Ed, could you just, to add you to the sequence, can you speak to the impact on the 20-year capital plan?
Yes.
Whatever sequencing we might have here.
I guess the only thing I can say is I think you all are aware from our discussions in the budget process, we have a lot of needs in the county that aren't all being met, a lot of deferred maintenance, those kinds of things that have been put off and put off and put off. So we're facing similar challenges. In terms of the capital plan, we have a number of identified projects and some that are not fully quantified at this time that have been talked in various committees of the legislature in the last year. Those have not been put into the capital plan yet, things like records. The future of COFA, we now expect, is going to be a few years out, but those are projects that are not in the program at this point with any specific numbers. So there's some unknowns out there that we anticipate needing to address that aren't in there yet.
Okay, back to the line of hands. I had Leslin, Martha. I'm sorry, Mike Hattery, Martha, then Carol. And I see the other hands.
Mike
Hattery.
I mostly was going to ask you to get to Carl and Jim on the floor. I think one of the things that in committee that they turned the corner on this for me is that I know we have a lot of deferred maintenance, and I kind of maybe overmade that point when we were discussing this. And on the other hand, this is an issue in which I think there's been a lot of initiative on part of the college's leadership to find matching money to get the job done on something that could be, as Jim's described, a fairly short-term situation where there's significant loss of service, and which is why I'm supporting this and jamming it in the program as it will be.
Martha, then Carol.
I'm inclined to support it with the $45,000 a year. Doesn't sound like that much, but I'm confused about the numbers actually, because the second resolve says we're talking about the state putting in 50%, then our share
60. I just did the same thing, Martha. Of the $1.6 million, the state's kicking in $800,000. The $800,000 remaining has to be split 38% with Cortland, 62% with Tompkins, which rounds our amount up to about $500,000. Our share is about $500,000, and that's what's spread through the capital program.
Okay. And the high side annual cost estimate is 45.
It's about 45 a year,
okay,
assuming that 4% is what we get bonded at.
Carol Chalk.
Thank you. But I'm inclined to support the notion of going to the state, particularly at this point where if something's available from the state, we ought to take advantage of it. I do want to just ensure clarity for both us and the public in the resolution itself and in our understanding of how the payback will be handled. The wording to secure funding for Tompkins County's portion doesn't, to me, clarify that we're actually going to pay the money. That's securing money could mean bonding it without clarifying whose responsibility is to pay it. So I ask that that be clarified. And then in trying to clarify it, I'd like to understand a little bit more about when it's our responsibility to pick up these costs separately for TC3 and when we ask them to build it into their budget that comes to us on an annual basis.
I was trying to develop a resolution. I'm not sure how it got changed. So I haven't seen the version that you have in front of you, but we were trying to get both counties approving pretty much the same resolution. Cortland County is going to be paying their share out of cash, okay? They're not going to be bonding for theirs or anything of that sort. So I was just trying to be clear that basically what you're doing is committing to paying your share one way or another, whether you secure it through bonding, whether you pay cash, or whether you do something else in terms of your share. But on this particular project, the proposal is that it's the county's responsibility to pay their appropriate share, whatever it might be, unlike the other project that's coming up tonight.
So I'd like to just understand the distinction. What guidelines are we using for when it's
Well, I'll give you my point on that.
Yeah.
Is that it seems to me the counties, and I talked to a couple of people about this, but the county has very little capital investment in our enterprise out there. I think your share of the recent $34 million was maybe 8%. The original construction, you had 0% county dollars. Most of the capital improvements we've made over the years have had very little, if any, capital monies. And the old building now is getting to the point, the original building, it's not that old compared to some of your buildings probably, but it's getting to the point where in your 35, 40-year-old facility that we are going to be seeing, some kinds of infrastructure needs. The other thing we're going to be doing this year, SUNY is funding half of a facility infrastructure survey for all the community colleges because they want to get a good sense of what that is. And I don't know when it's going to be done, whether that's going to stick through the budget process or not, but they've asked us to pony up our share of that for all the community colleges. That'll give us then a document to really, we can start looking, I think, longer term in terms of what are some of the things that are coming down the pike over the next 5 to 10 years in terms of what our infrastructure needs. But philosophically, it seems to me you're a 50% owner, you and Cortland County together, are 50% owner of our building. And it seems to me that you need to kind of pair your share then of infrastructure kinds of issues like this when they come up. When we've expanded our facilities, like we did with the master plan, we relied heavily either on fundraised dollars or chargeback dollars. And with the expansion we're doing with classrooms, we're relying on chargeback dollars. And so that is no cost to the county sponsors. But it seems to me that that's kind of a philosophical line that I'm suggesting, at least, that you consider.
Let me move on to Kathy, then Pam, then Frank. But first, I want to explain to Carl and Jim. I think the reason for this level of questioning beyond a committee meeting is the sequencing, is the timing. You're essentially budging in line into a long list of 20-year capital that are well vetted, and I think people have concern about displacement and even the timing in our budget season. So it's not a public scolding, but it's an education opportunity for planning ahead further and giving us a little bit more lead time to put it into our entire countywide capital thinking.
I certainly understand my timing. I'm not getting any prize for timing on this. I understand that.
Move on to Kathy.
Well, I'll just start out by saying that when Mr. Turner was up there at the microphone talking about the Federal Pacific Breakers, I'm nodding my head and nodding my head. They're notorious in the industry. There's a reason they went out of business. And particularly the home breakers blew up a lot. And they, well, I could go on for a long time, but I won't. What I'll say is that I would like to find a way to support this. And so the kind of question I have that is probably just going to reveal my ignorance is there some way that we can keep from there being a responsibility for us in this current budget in terms of our capital plan this year? Because if I could find a way to
We've already committed to that, Kathy.
And can you go into detail about that? Because it's the only loophole I've got to be able to support this. And here's the thing. I am concerned a little bit about the implications of us being responsible for deferred maintenance on campus from this point forward. And the implications of that are not ones that I'm signing on to, although I understand our responsibility. And just briefly, I say, as a TC3 student myself at times, and I will probably go back, I understand how vital it is, especially during times of economic downturn, that we have a school like TC3. And TC3 is excellent, and the chargebacks that it gets certainly outweigh many of the increased costs to us in terms of Tompkins County taxes. So it's a win all the way around, and I want to find a way to support it.
The timing on this is that, by the nature of the project, we really need to do this during the summertime when we're at low ebb in terms of the demand on the facility, because we can manage, you know, parts of the building being shut down at for a week or two at a time. To do this in any given summer, we pretty much need to know, you know, from you folks in about February whether or not we've got the go-ahead for that year or not. And in February, that gives us time to get the engineering work done, go out to bid, get the contractors on site, and go ahead and do the project. And what we've talked about is what February that is, what year that is, whether it's 9, 10, or 11, is pretty much your call. And obviously, it'll be somewhat dependent on the nature of what's going on with the project. If we do have more serious problems, we may accelerate that. But we've pretty much already assumed right now that it's not going to be 09 based on the previous discussions here, and that this would be 10. But the important thing tonight is that we'll have the money locked in from Cortland County and from the state so that it is then we have the flexibility to determine what year is it going to be. It's in the control gets to our hands then, not somebody else's. So that's the important thing.
Can we get a clearer answer from our county administrative staff or from Nathan as chair? Did the committee agree to?
Yes, I can clarify that as chair. I mean, that was actually, you know, we spent a lot of time doing this because this was, you know, a lot of sudden stuff.
Yes.
And so when we were talking to Carl, and we had assurances from Carl at that meeting, and that basically, well, first off, let me take a step back, and I mentioned this earlier, that when you have a capital project like this, generally we acknowledge it the year in which it begins. And so that means we would have to alter our 2009 budget in order to incorporate this project into our capital plan. And so therefore we decided that we didn't want its effect on the levy. And so that's why Carl, as he says, is open to having that be done in 2010 and 2011. And the committee was not supportive of this if it was going to be a 2009 project, just because of its effect on the levy. And I think that was made pretty clear. And I don't know, Joe, if you have any different views on that.
Just a point. Only it's been made, but just for emphasis, which is, I think one of the timing issues is there may be state money that's available today that won't be available tomorrow. And I think what the college is trying to do is to make sure that it locks in on that money that is there today. So that's the urgency of it. And then there's the luxury of timing after that to determine when it is best spent given our own capital cycle. So if you could lock in the money today, and essentially the state would encumber that money, and it might protect it from the cuts that may come later in the state budget process. So that money would be held for this project. And then we have the luxury of time, assuming that the panels survive. To decide when that project is best undertaken so it would fit into our capital plan in the least adverse kind of way. I think it would have to come back to the legislature again. I think yes. There's another action that would have to happen to make sure the money can't be spent without your approval, and I believe there's a bond action, an authorization that would have to be passed by the legislature before the money could actually be passed. So you'll still have control over the timing of the spending of the money.
I have Pam, then Frank.
Well, I would like to just weigh in on this, because I think that we are one of the owners of TC3. We are a participant and responsible for a part of its partially responsible for its well-being, and I think that this is an infrastructure question. And I don't understand the thinking where we would not approve this, we would lose the state funding, and the possibility exists that these panels will go, and we will be liable for much more than what we will be liable if we approve this. It doesn't make sense to me, and I just think this is part of our job. This is something that we are responsible to make sure happens. I think that TC3 would suffer irreparably if its facility lost power for any extended period of time. And I just think we should move on this and do it.
Frank Proto.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. A couple of questions, Carl. What happens if we don't do this? That's the first question.
Well, we don't get any state funding, and as Joe pointed out, then our ability to get state funding later on is at risk. What the state has is for the community college, they have $11 million set aside for community college projects that are considered emergency, life safety, that kind of thing. When it's gone, it's gone. And what your approval today allows us to kind of get our chunk locked in of that $11 million. A year from now, it may or may not be there. I mean, I can't predict how long it's going to last, whether it's going to be there for one more year or two more years. So that's the downside risk.
Mike already asked my question about timing, what I was going to ask about, late in the process and all that, think we addressed
it. And I apologize for that.
No,
If I had the wisdom of foresight to done all the work that he did in the last 3-4 months to pull this together, I would have done it better. But it's just a fact of life that we couldn't.
If it came
about when it did.
If we approve this and it's postponed until the actual work's postponed until 2010, is the system adequate now to at least get you through to 2010?
If you use the microphone,
I can only answer that indirectly. The only way that we manage our risks is to do what I'm doing, and that's to take an infrared gun, go to each and every one of these panels, and measure the temperature of the circuit breakers on an individual basis, record that, and then do that over a period of time. As a breaker starts to fail, the temperature goes up. So I can start to predict if we're going to have a problem. Okay, the ones that I've had, the advantage that the college has gotten is that they've done an energy project and the overall load in the campus has been reduced. So that's probably what saved some major problems with this system up to this point in time. But it's right now it's a matter of just putting together the program, finishing the monitoring, and doing that on a regular basis. And just trying to reduce our risk by just watching what's going on.
Okay, now my last question, Mike.
Thank you.
We have such confidence in the state. You can imagine how we're all taking that to the bank, right? I mean, we had a 2% hit, a 6% hit, and now they're playing games. We don't know what's going to happen. Joe just said we're waiting until they couldn't even talk about it today. What happens if this money, some of us remember when the DOT had a lockbox. Do any of you remember that? And they dipped into that one. What happens if they pull this 11 or 13 million that they're talking about, the money that they've set aside, and we've made a commitment to do it? What happens if 6 or 8 months or a year from now that money isn't there?
That money already is there and can't go away by legislation. That's there, Frank.
Well, Carl, to be perfectly honest with you, there was legislation about archives money, and it was not even tax money. It was money generated by what we do when we file documents. They weren't supposed to touch that either, and they raped that fund too. I'm sorry to be so blunt.
I can't speak to that issue. I can speak to mine, okay? And what I can tell you is that on the downside, from a negative standpoint, there's been a lot up until 4 or 5 years ago, the state would approve a lot of capital projects for community colleges, millions of dollars worth. And then the college couldn't get sponsor approval to go ahead and do the project because the local sponsor wouldn't come up with their share. And that money sits there. And the state is unable to do anything with it. The college is unable to do anything with it. That's what suggests to me that this money is locked in. It's not going to go anyplace. I can tell you that based on 40 years of history, because there's some of those monies that have been allocated to various other community colleges that have sat there for 10 and 15 years, and it's not used. And it's a shame, but that's just the way the system was. 5 years ago, they changed it. Now the state won't allocate any projects to state or any state funds for community college projects unless the local sponsors have approved their commitment to the project ahead of time. So that's the way they changed the system about 4 or 5 years ago. That's why we're here tonight. And this fund is there. It's solid. And I don't have any doubts about what will be fine as far as the state.
Is there a lot of competition?
As a matter of fact, I've talked to Senator Stewart and Assemblywoman Lifton, and they both have kind of indicated to me that it's probably going to be easier to get capital money this year than it is operating money. We already know our
operating
budgets
are being
cut. I think
we are moving towards a vote, getting more information. Leslin, Carol, Kathy, Jim.
Actually, Dr. Hayes answered one of my questions, which was I was assuming we had to make our commitment in order for you to get the state funding. Clearly, I don't want anything. I don't like things that are blowing up and catching fire and so on and so forth, because there's potential fatalities. But I have one other question, but I'm sure you can understand or concern around just the timeliness of this at this point, given all that's going on with our budget process and taxes. Could I ask why, or maybe I understood the master plan wrong, the comprehensive master plan, why this whole electrical thing was not included with that?
Well, that plan was done 8 years ago, 9 years ago,
right,
2000.
And there were some upgrades and there were things.
And I can't answer the question
that's
in terms
fine.
Of really why specifically, why didn't the architects kind of put their fingers on this one as something that should be done? They dealt with other things in terms of classrooms and various other kinds of things,
and
that was it. But it just didn't come on the radar screen until we had this issue a year and a half ago.
Carol Chuck.
My question got answered.
Kathy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The discussion's been helpful. I'll tell you what's a sticking point for me, and what I think is because a lot of people have said that they wouldn't support the budget if we added to it or changed it a lot. And my concern was it was going to mess up a very delicately balanced budget. at the committee level, it sounded as though we weren't even committing that it be next year for sure, that we were saying it would be in the future, like beyond 2009. I would like for that sort of an understanding to remain rather than a commitment that it has to be 2009 and that it be based somewhat on the ones that need it the most, because God knows we're going to be in our own situation, and in terms of deferred maintenance here at the county, we may have some emergencies. So hoping that we're coalescing around something that's a little more favorable to the county's flexibility in this, I think I can support it.
Let the minutes reflect that the project will not occur in 2009.
Should the resolution
that the
no, we can't have the resolution.
We can't put it in the resolution. That we give the judgment of timing to our three stewards of our financial resources, our capital project manager, Ed, and Joe, and David, and it will indeed come back to us for bonding at the appropriate time. We move on to Jim, I think, is the last voice before we vote, hopefully.
Very short. A thing that convinced me during the committee meeting was the fact that the emergency fund that the college is applying to is one that they have not applied to. And I don't know if ever. But so it kind of puts them up the food chain a little bit further to be able to be guaranteed the money.
And we can only get 50%.
Thank you.
Actually, let me just kind of speak to Jim's point, because I forgot to mention this before. But last year, when the capital projects or capital money was passed out to community colleges, there were seven campuses that didn't get any capital monies. We were one of those seven. And in all fairness, we didn't request any capital monies. Nevertheless, there were other community colleges that didn't request capital monies that got monies for projects. It was a kind of a complicated, convoluted sort of process. Nevertheless, the governor's office felt very apologetic about the fact that these seven, I personally got a call from his office saying that next year, if you have some projects, we'll be sure to help out. So that was, I think, the point that I made the other day that Jim's referring to, that they... I think there's a lot of things moving, the nature of this project, as well as kind of a sense on their part that they sort of OTC3 a capital project here.
I think we're ready to vote. This is Resolution J, revised, endorsing Tompkins Courtland Community College electrical panel replacement project. Are we ready to vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I'm going to register as opposed. Okay. Kathy.
I'd like to make a suggestion that in the real near future that perhaps government operations or facilities and infrastructure take up a discussion of the policy implications of our taking on more responsibility for deferred maintenance at TC3. I think it's something we should plan for, and it's something that we need to think about. And I don't want to be in this kind of a situation again where we have to choose between our campus and the TC3 campus. I think we can set up a queue that's more reasonable, and no scolding at all. I understand your situation. The more I found out about it, the more I felt bad for putting you through it. So thank you.
Well, and I think it'd be a perfect opportunity that when we get this survey done, I don't know the timing of that. Jim, do you have any idea when they're planning on doing that?
The infrared.
A little bit here and there.
Yeah. but when we get that report done, they've done that for the state-operated campuses, and what I've heard anecdotally is that it's been a very good instrument for the state-operated campuses to do that kind of planning. So when we get that report, that's something we really can sit down and bring your respective groups in the two counties together and look at that. That'll be definitely a long-term kind of deferred capital maintenance kind of thing. We had a lot of maintenance work out of the operating budget, but the major capital things will...
Nathan, can you move Resolution K, revised?
Yes, absolutely. Resolution K, endorsing Tompkins Courtland Community College classroom project.
Is there a second? Greg Stevenson, second. Is there a discussion?
All right, and let me just start off this one by saying that this is a $2 million classroom project, and it's being paid for with, I believe, 50% state funding. or hopefully will be paid with Horowitz 50% state funding, and then the remaining 50% will be paid for with capital chargeback money and fundraising. Even if the state funding doesn't pull through, Carl believes that they'll be able to support the project without having to rely on the local share. So there is no impact to the county's local share on this. This is going to be paid for, hopefully, with 50% state funding and capital chargeback and fundraising dollars.
Mike Hattery?
When we discussed this committee, Mr. Squires had some concerns about the college's ability to finance this in the way they're suggesting and maintain other commitments or financial flows between us. I was wondering if he'd comment on, given the kind of information the college has provided since the budget committee meeting, his confidence in that.
David?
Well, the original request showed the assumption that New York State was going to finance the local share. And so we asked them to go back and do their cash flow with the assumption that New York State is not going to, and see what the implications were, because we have an agreement with the college to hold us harmless for the investment we've made in the campus to date. And we had some reservations that by proceeding, if the state funding didn't come in, it might jeopardize that assumption we have programmed in our financial plan currently. So they redid their projections, and they showed that they could absorb the entire project if the state funding doesn't come through. It will deplete all their reserves to do this, I believe, but it will not jeopardize the amount that's pledged to us for the next 10 years.
So concern met. Thank you. Frank Proto.
Carl, it sort of harkens back to the last resolution, too. When we were discussing the capital program and the college's plan, is there an opportunity for whoever is representing the appropriate legislature on your board to work with, you know, just to, when that's updated, to be kept in the loop on that type of thing? If I assume they are now, but how often is the plan that the college has revised or upgraded or updated?
Is it annually?
Are you talking about the master plan, you mean?
Yeah, the master plan.
We're due to do another one of those in the near future. I mean, in theory, it's supposed to be done every 5 years, but it really is longer than that. You know, the last plan was done in 2000, and it took us, you know, 3 or 4 years to get it funded, and another 4 or 5 years to build it out. Okay, so it's been a long time, and I'm coming back to this survey of infrastructure needs that will be done probably sometime in the next year or so, and that'll give us a good plan going forward as far as infrastructure.
So, but there is an opportunity for both legislatures, Cortland and Tompkins, to be involved in that master plan.
Yeah, you're using the term master plan. I'm talking about an infrastructure survey.
It's probably the same thing.
Well, it speaks to the need that I think you're really trying to address here tonight, which is, you know, how does a community college infrastructure needs going forward as we look for the next 5 to 10 years, you know, how do we fit that into your overall capital plan? And that's really what I'm speaking
to. That's
where
we're going. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Kathy Lou Sfera.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I thought I was following that discussion until the very end. The questions I have are pretty predictable. I thought I understood David to say, well, let me phrase it another way. My concern is for the budget, and that whatever we're doing, whether it affects this year's budget or not, and also my concern is because in an economic downturn is when people go back to school, and I understand that the 9-classroom need is something that was recognized because of the huge increase in enrollment that's happened due to the dormitories and other things. So my question is actually to David, because what I thought I heard him say was something a little different than what I understood at the budget meeting, and what I thought I understood him to say had something to do with that now he believes that this will be covered by the chargebacks, even though before he figured it would deplete it entirely and it wouldn't be covered. So can I just get a little bit more clarification of that? Because if it doesn't impact our budget this year, and if it looks like it's covered, then I can sign on to this. I voted against this in committee. And I apologize for all the detailed discussion, but there were so many things that weren't clear that I just needed to get some clarification.
And fewer words are better, David.
I didn't have all the information to come to an opinion. They revised their figures, and they clarified that it would not impact the budget because they're paying for this project out of funds on hand. It doesn't affect the future budgets of the county with the amount that's pledged to pay us annually for the debt service we've incurred.
Would not impact 2009 or any future year is what I heard David just say. Any further questions, deliberations? Carol Chalk, and then I think we're ready to vote.
Yeah, I agree with Kathy's sense that in a downturn, what we'll see is more people coming to the classroom, and we'll then be better prepared for this when it cycles back around to an upturn, and that makes sense. My question is whether we have seen, whether we have somewhere that I can look at a copy of the plan, the facilities plan, going into the future in general as these projects come forward. And specifically, what exists now in the area that these nine classrooms will be built? What will you lose? What space are you going to lose by filling in with the classrooms? Or will you be coming back to us for more space for those?
we do have the layout if you want to look at it. Essentially, if you're, most of you, I believe, are familiar with our building. If you walk in on the first floor, on the main entrance, you walk down the brick walkway toward the south end of the building, right across where the old gym used to be, there was kind of a wrestling room there, aerobics room, that big open area that opened to the west side of the building. And then a little bit farther down was a big, large lecture hall. Both of those spaces are significantly underutilized. We use very little of large lectures in terms of mode of instruction at the college. That room is underutilized. And the other room now has been displaced over to the new athletic complex. So what we're doing essentially is taking those two spaces and then moving out underneath the overhang. The second floor cantilevers out over the first floor in that area. So anyway, that's what we're doing. And Jim's got a drawing here where we're basically creating nine classrooms in that now underutilized or outdoor space.
I think we're ready to vote. I think it would be wise if, after about an hour of deliberation, you include in your capital plan at least two new chairs for our legislature.
Mr. Chair, I was just about to say, because if my budget, the floor is all over. We need some new chairs.
Are we ready to vote on Resolution K, revised? All in favor, please raise your hands and keep them up.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
All right. And there's more exciting resolutions next. All right, next we have Resolution M, authorizing the issuance of $6.5 million of serial bonds of the County of Tompkins, New York, to pay a portion of the cost of renovation and reconstruction of an office building.
Seconded by Michael Hattery. This vote would be a roll call and requires two-thirds of the legislature to pass it. Is there discussion?
Yeah.
Discussion.
Letting us know, is this 50? I see,
yes,
55 Brown Road in there. The reason I'm asking this out loud is I think the public ought to know what building
we're
talking about.
Yes, I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that.
Can you give us a little description here, Nathan?
Well, this is just to basically authorize the issuance of these bonds. The project, I don't think, is supposed to cost all the way. They're not going to use necessarily that full amount. I think it's right now around $6 million. But this just basically opens up the access to that $6.5 million. I'm sure David can explain it far better than I can, if needed.
Dooley Kiefer.
I was going to ask if we could add
at 55 Brown Road at the end of the title of the resolution.
I think that's friendly.
That is absolutely 100%.
And I'd like to ask if we could stick a verb in the first resolve. So that just before it says as follows, it would say undertakes as follows.
Undertakes as follows. That's probably friendly.
Friendly?
Undertakes.
Fine. All right.
All right. Undertakes is in there. And if there's no further questions, we'll go
yes, I do.
Frank Proto.
Nathan, during the process of working with the architect and whatnot, I caught wind of there being some changes with regard to environmental
right.
issues.
Yeah.
Do you know off the top of your head what the cost of those have added to the project?
Yeah, as I recall from our committee meeting, it's taken the project, as I said, to about $6 million. So
what was it? I mean, those. Do you know?
So the increase in that. Oh gosh, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Ed or David can say it. I recall around like I think it was like close to $500,000, but I'm not entirely sure actually.
Thank you.
This will be a long form roll call.
Ms. Keeper?
Yes.
Ms. McAsey?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
No.
Mr. Proto?
No.
Mr. Randall?
No.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Sigler?
No.
Mr. Stevenson?
No.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Cha?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Mr. Hattery?
Yes.
Ms. Ferreira?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplinka-Lair?
Yes.
10 ayes, 5 noes.
That passes 10-5 with our 2/3 majority. We traditionally take a break at 2 hours. Do people want to take a break before our budget vote, or do they want to keep moving forward?
I think
people are ready to move forward. Okay,
let's go all the way.
Please move. Right. Resolution N, Nathan.
Oh, this marks the beginning of more sleep. No longer having to say the same thing over and over and over again. All right, Resolution N, adoption of 2009 Tompkins County budget and 2009-2013 Tompkins County capital program. And
Is there a second? Jim Dennis seconds.
All right. And for the benefit of the public, I will mention the major points here. Oh, gosh, what did I do with my resolution? I have... what this will do is that this will take us to... let's see. Well, I should know this all off the top of my head, so I'll just do it off the top of my head. but basically, it keeps us at a tax levy of that meets our target at approximately... 2.99%, which translates to a reduction in the tax rate of, and I'm doing this off the top of my head, 13.5%, and a total increase in spending of 2.2%. All right, good. I've said this enough, and so this is what that will accomplish. There are no changes at this point. I know we have some amendments, but there are no changes at this point from the budget that we, the recommended budget that we adopted a few weeks ago.
Abdullah Kiefer, then Martha Robertson, then Frank.
I think this is the right time for me to move an amendment.
Yes, yes.
So I'd like to refer you to resolution
Q.
Which exists in a revised form that I think everybody has. Mm-hmm. And I hope you all got the attachments with my cover letter. But for the sake of anybody who's listening, I'd like to say that what I would like to do here is add a half-time purchasing assistant position in the finance department, which was one of the items that we voted on during the expanded budget committee meetings, and it failed on a 7-7 tie.
Before you explain it, Julie, you just move the amendment as revised?
Okay. I'm sorry.
Julie moves it. Pam seconds it. Okay, discussion. Julie.
So at that time, it was not brought up again for consideration, but some discussion that took place during that meeting elucidated the information that the absence of this position, the fact that it's been vacant since 2003, has made things very hard on the sole incumbent in purchasing, who has done a yeoman job but can't be there more than full time and has to be absent sometime. And as you will see from David Squire's more recent informational memo, that has caused some serious problems in the purchasing division. And of course, I can't find this memo right now.
Well, we all have copies.
So it has meant, the questions that were raised at the expanded budget committee meeting were, could this have been costing us more by not being able to research alternatives completely and check out other options to state contract, for example? And his answer was, yes, it's a fact that that has happened. This whole topic is complicated by the fact that there are other possibilities in the future. One is that the solid waste division may find a way to pay for a half-time position to focus on green purchasing and have that position be in the finance department. But when I went to the reuse center opening, I heard again from Barbara Ekstrom, the solid waste division manager, how really bad the commodities markets are and how you can't really sell what we're collecting in the way of many recyclables now, paper markets in particular, that it's very good that solid waste has had a 10% requirement for their reserves because it's going to be necessary with the economy the way it is. So I don't know when that additional halftime position may come forward. But it's clear that David has needed a position for several years and still needs it. The other possibility alluded to at the end of his memo has to do with fleet management. If the county's sustainability subcommittee that deals with greening the fleet is able to come up with a policy that we can vote on at the legislative level and then implement that policy again through having fleet management perhaps in the purchasing area of finance, that might also help fill in this need. But it will take a full-time position, in my opinion, to do that and green purchasing and what David has needed for the last few years. So I am committed to this concept of trying to save us money by filling this halftime position. I think it will more than pay for itself. And the pride that so many of you feel in meeting our target, I want to address also, because from my speaking with Norma, I understand that by adding this as a target position, taking back 17,000 plus in rollover as a title, we would be raising the county budget, the county's tax levy, to 3.02%, which, not unlike 2.99%, rounds to 3%. So I view this as meeting the same target.
I have next Martha, then Frank, and I want to speak.
I want to thank Julie for really pursuing this and getting so much more information, and David for putting this together also. And I'm looking at David's memo to Julie, November 13th, that was in our packet. Before I ask my question, I want to make a comment that we used to have something called cost savers. Sort of a designation that we would, sort of a little asterisk we'd put on particular kinds of spending that staff was able to document, you know, spending this dollar really saves directly $3 over here. And Janet's nodding. You remember them. Okay, good. So it's the sort of thing where you, penny-wise and pound-foolish, not to go ahead and do this. So I really appreciate the documentation that we got. It really makes me feel much more confident that I think this is the right thing to do. While I also appreciate really making that 3% goal, I think this is good enough for government work, as they say. My question is from David's memo. You mentioned that while the state contract solution can produce direct savings, most of the vendors are located outside the county. And as a result, the practice discourages local vendors from developing business relationships with their local government. We've also heard over the last couple of years some of work that Cornell is doing, especially with vendors of diverse suppliers. And I feel like that's something where that's a unique kind of value that we bring when we can really direct our own purchasing in the ways that not just through the state contract, but if we really have that as a policy goal. Is that something that you'd be able to, this person would be able to pursue also? The record should show he's nodding. Good. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Okay.
Frank?
Thanks, Mike. The concern I have is I don't want to be locked into the 3%. On the other hand, you've heard it all before this evening. We have other people, and Ed made the comment earlier with regard to the capital program. We have departments that are really asking and have asked over the 2.5 month period we've been at this for increases as well. A question I'd like to ask is there a compensating decrease in any of the other requests to keep this still at the 3% or lower? And I didn't hear that.
It's not part of the motion.
The other part that, this will blow you out of the water. When I read my email from Michael Kaplinkler, the blog is next, Kat. You got to help me with that. I'm going to do a chat room. Mike indicated that there was $70,000 available. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
I just looked up the rollover. Maybe Norma can clarify, but I think 56 of that was given back this year. So that's why I believe Julie ended up with $17,000 remaining.
So that your comment, previous comment that it could have been funded out of the 70 at that time, it could have been, but David chose to give part of that money back.
He's using
the rollover
to cover
the
expenses this year. So $56,249
Thanks. Thank you.
I won't be supporting this amendment. I think that if David had determined over the years that it was a cost saver, he would have investigated that and invested in that. So I don't, at this juncture, I'm not convinced. Nathan?
I don't think I need to know. I'll pass.
Okay. Any further discussion before we vote on the amendment? Dooley.
Well, you just said that you suspected that if David had been convinced it would be a cost saver, he would have brought that forth. I just have to say that I suspect that because David has been so willing to work with our previous county administrator to not ask for things, he may have had that discussion, but we would never know about it.
Okay. Are we prepared to vote on the amendment? All in favor? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And opposed? 6, 7, 8. It fails 6-9. Resolution P in your packets was submitted by myself, but I propose not to move it because I'm chairing the meeting. Can someone else move it on my behalf? Kathy Luce Herrera,
resolution. I'd be happy to move resolution P.
Well, it's actually the wording of resolution P as an amendment to Nathan's
resolution.
I would like to move the wording of Resolution P as an amendment to Nathan's resolution.
Is there a second? Ann McAsey.
Can I just speak to it for a second?
Certainly.
For years, we had a county historian. We still have one, and yet she's not getting any money at all. The Civil War Commission is very important. The work that they're doing helps us recognize where we came from, where we're going, where we are now. And this small amount of money basically is just going to photocopying and to ensure the success of the commission in its work. And they're going to be working with volunteer groups throughout the county to illuminate our progress in the 150, it will be then, years since the Civil War.
Further discussion on the amendment to Nathan's motion. Frank Proto, Nathan's resolution.
As a member of the commission, I'd like to ask, is it possible that this could come, Carol and I were talking about this yesterday, could this come out of the tourism money as opposed to...
I believe the, I can answer that. I believe Carol Kamen is planning on approaching the tourism fund. She's also planning on approaching other state funding for historic purposes. Sometimes those grants that she'll be applying for, and it's not just 1 year, require local match, even the tourism money. So... they are planning on applying for many, many different pots of funding, and this is just the beginning seed money, hopefully. Further deliberations. Carol.
Yeah, I would encourage, I'll support this. I would hope that this funding would all...
You would hope?
I would hope that the commission would bring this to the tourism
I think they're planning.
Programs. For future funding as we move closer to the years that this will actually come to the public. I have just some problems with the title.
Sure.
I just like the title. I don't have really great suggested wording, but just to make it
clear. You don't need
clear,
a title to amend Nathan's. If it doesn't pass here, someone can bring P later on in the meeting.
So for program funds for the county historian to move forward with Civil War commemoration activities.
If we get to that point, if it doesn't pass as an amendment to Nathan's resolution, I will consider that change of title. People know what they're voting on. Are we ready to vote? Jim Dennis.
I'm going to support this if someone can assure me that she might be able to do purchasing.
only historic and only green purchasing. Are we ready to vote on the amendment to the resolution to our tentative budget? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? One, two, three opposed. Okay, that amends our resolution. Are there any other amendments to our resolution? If not, we can proceed to deliberating on the full resolution, which is essentially now our new tentative budget. Is there discussion? Nathan.
I just wanted to thank everybody again, thank our staff, thank our former county administrator, Steve Witcher, and thank all of you for what I thought was a really great collaborative process.
Thank you, Nathan, for chairing it. Martha?
Yeah, thanks very much, Nathan, and the sometime temporary chair, Mike, for a lot of the work, but maybe it's premature before we vote in on it.
Yes, that's true.
But I wanted to just, you know, I had made a request that we defer our vote until after the state took action, and clearly that's not going to happen, so no point in doing that. However, I think we do have we've really been careful in this, and I think we've safeguarded the things that we really need to, and we're watching them, but clearly there's nothing, no new information. I'm ready to vote for this tonight.
Thank you. Jim Dennis.
Nathan, I think, obviously did a really great job. He mentioned the former county administrator. I just want to mention Norma. Norma Jane.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, obviously was front and center on this. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dooley, did I see your hand?
You did. I was disappointed at the... session held in public by the legislative leaders in Albany today. that there was nothing concrete to show for us to react to yet. But I've always been interested in Governor Patterson's proposal to close what he has called a $2 billion gap, which is what he was trying to get done by today. But it wasn't really a $2 billion gap. It was a $1.5 billion gap. The other half billion, $500 million, was to cushion New York State for things that might go wrong in terms of the economy. And that's what I find wrong with our budget. We do not, in my view, have sufficient cushion for me to feel we're properly positioned for next year. So I will be voting against this budget.
I think I saw another hand. Frank?
First, just a clarification. The gray summary sheet that was prepared for the November 10th public hearing, it's my understanding those numbers are still the accurate numbers that we're dealing with. $74,097,865.
Except for the $2,000 one-time change today.
Well, and that's not going to affect the levy.
That will not affect
just one time.
I think the compliments that have been issued, I think, are certainly appropriate. Nathan, even though you had to dart off once for an exam, I think we all appreciated the time you spent, believe me. I am going to support the budget tonight, which I haven't done. Dennis, grab your heart. Part of it has to do with the commitment we made back in the early summer about trying to bring this in at a 3% levy. And we all didn't get everything that we wanted. Some of us think that some of you got more than you should have, but that didn't happen to us, of course. On the other hand, all kidding aside, I think everybody put a lot of time into this. The staff really deserves a pat on the back. And I have to admit that some of the items that I brought up did get passed. I'm pretty pleased to see that. And maybe I shouldn't mention that because somebody will try to whack them tonight.
There's still time.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm afraid of. But much to your surprise, I'm sure, I did tell a few of you that I was going to support this budget because I think it really showed a collaborative effort among staff and among all of the legislators. We did duke it out a little bit, and we all survived. So compliments around.
Will, Tyke, Martha, did I see your hand, Mike Hattery? That was just a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead, Will.
Well, I will be voting against this budget, and I do so without any negative feelings to the people who work so hard to pull it together. I really am appreciative of the hard work and the spirit in which you did it. I do, however, share Dooley's concern. I feel that we are headed into very, very stormy waters, that we are going to be hit with news from the state that is going to be very, very unwelcome, and that we will, by not building our fund balance in the coming year, leave far less maneuvering room and forced to make some cuts that we would rather not make. So I will be voting against it, but in no way is that a reflection negatively on all the good work that was done.
Tyke?
I'm not sure where to go. I guess I wanted to say thank you. This has been a very trying year for me. Somebody obviously stood in the gap for me, which I assume were all of you, because a lot of the concerns I had were voiced. I did watch the proceedings, read the minutes, and honestly came away being very proud of everything that you accomplished this year, even without me. I wish I could take some credit for some of that, and I apologize to my constituents for the lack of participation. Things happen in life, I guess, and I'm just happy that since the accident that I'm even here. So I'm blessed that way, and I'm blessed with a body of individuals who care about the community as much as I do, and I'm appreciative of that, and I will support the budget. It's the first time in 3 years, and I'm happy to do so. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Hattery, then Martha.
Even though I disagree with you about the budget, Tyke, I'm glad you're back on that full strength. As I've mentioned before, I agree with Dooley, but for different reasons. That I don't. I think we ate up the cushion that the administrator had and department heads had carefully built in the budget to deal with what I think will most certainly be, and I hope I'm wrong, the kind of outfall we're going to have from future problems with the state. I've been supported by, I think, at least two constituents, one of which who wrote an op-ed piece for the Journal this summer, who was a well-planned retiree that owned his house, and in order to pay his property taxes in this county, has not just county property taxes, he's had to take a reverse mortgage on his house. And I'm just saying, you know, without the cushion and with the increased spending that we added in eating up that cushion, I just can't support this budget.
Thank you. And Martha?
Usually the resolution has the levy information and the tax rate information, and it's not in here. I don't want to, maybe it can be added as an explanatory note. Would that be possible?
Sure.
Okay, thanks.
2.99% levy minus 13.5% rate, 2.2% increase in spending.
And the actual rate itself is 593 per thousand?
593 per thousand.
Thank you.
Leslie McBean Claiborne.
Thank you. I wasn't going to speak, but Tyke, you made me happy. I do appreciate all the work that went into the budget. And no, Frank, I didn't get almost near anything I wanted, but I'm willing to support the budget because I thought there was some really good thinking that went into it. I can't imagine how to amass the kind of cushion my colleagues are talking about without taxing our residences much more than they can afford right now, especially given the state of the economy, period. I assume that there will be years when we will be able to rebuild that cushion. We've done it before. We've whacked away at it. We've rebuilt. But we've also set targets for ourselves to make sure we don't go beyond a certain level. And I think we've tried to maintain that and maintain it well. I want us to also be as sympathetic as we can to the people out there in this particular year and probably next year as well, and not consider higher increases than they can really afford to do. Right now it's rough, Mike, you're right. It's very rough on a lot of folks. I know I'm going to feel it, living in the city of Ithaca. But I don't think we could do a whole lot more. We've talked for years about looking comprehensively at the budget and where we're going to make cuts, and there aren't many of us sitting around this table who are willing to do this big cuts. We talk about it, but when it comes down to it, we really don't vote to support it. So I can't imagine where else we're supposed to amass a cushion that is being referred to. And I see that, you know, brighter days are probably going to come and we'll be able to rebuild that. But at this point, I don't think we can put any more on the taxpayers. And I think we did a bloody good job trying to do our best to keep the tax levy where it is. Still keep our programs functioning as best we can to support the needs of the very community we're trying to gouge more out of. And so I will support this budget.
I have Kathy Lou Herrera and then Carol.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be brief. I echo the compliments to everyone involved. A lot of fingerprints all over this, and I guess we all get to share in what celebrating we can from this, because it is a joint and a collaborative effort. We also get to share the blame and the pain. I know that there's folks that formerly worked at BorgWarner that don't have a cushion right now, and whether there's any way that we can help them. I know that there's hundreds of thousands of dollars that I would like to add into programs that I know that are going to be besieged this coming year, and I think that all of us can think of places where we would have wanted to add more, and many of us can think of places where we would like to slash more. Tyke, I heard you whispering in my ear a bunch of times. I thought you had something hardwired in here so that I could hear you, but in as much as possible, I think we did represent what we know about each other, because in this process we do come to know each other really well, and there's a way that we can almost predict what the counter-argument is going to be to our argument. Like I say, this isn't really anything to celebrate, but we are, in as much as we can, being responsible. And that's something that can't always be said. I remember there was a guy from the Chamber of Commerce in here a few weeks ago saying, and excuse me for rewording what he said, I'd like for it to be lower, but you're doing a pretty good job. That's high praise. And I think that the collaboration attested to by the fact that there's folks from both sides of the aisle voting for and against the budget shows just what a struggle it's been. And all I can say is we're doing the best we can, but without people telling us and what's going on in their lives, and without us hearing about people that have to choose between the shoes and the prescription, we wouldn't really have a sense of just how bad it is out there. So we're doing the best we can, and I hope we can have a better year coming.
Carol, and then I'll move to a vote.
Well, first, in the interest of disclosure and clarity for the public, while it is not in our template for the resolution, the average taxpayer this year will still see a slight increase of 1.2% because of this is the year that we went to full value assessments. This is the only year, this is the last year that will happen. But I just want for people watching to understand that we're disclosing that. I would have preferred a bigger cushion. I do fear what we're coming up with, but I will support this budget. I think we have scary times coming. I think I do share the sense that we need to be the buffer for our citizens who can't, who are going to be most hard hit by what's coming. What I didn't resolve for myself was whether holding ourselves to a smaller amount would serve those people who need the support the most better than making sure that we keep the services that people are going to need as times get tough. And I'm glad to see that we didn't cut services, that we managed to hold the line on those. And the fourth and last thing that I'll say is that I think that as we come up in this coming year, the process that we use to go through the budget of focusing on the over-target requests is one that we're going to have to look at carefully for the upcoming year and the years following that. I think that we're going to have to start looking at a process that allows us to look at the base budgets, not every department in every year, but if only to reassure ourselves that those are the base budgets we're comfortable with, which I suspect is where we'll end up, because I don't sense that there's a lot of fat in our budget in any of our departments. But I would feel more comfortable with the process as we move forward that starts to look at that. I think it's been a long time since we've done anything other than look at the over-target request. So all that said, I think that we've done a good job of using a scalpel instead of a knife and adding where we needed to add, and I'll support the budget.
Thank you, Carol. Jim Dennis.
Very quickly, a concern for me, and I'm going to support the budget, but a concern for me has been over the last few weeks since we even did the tentative budget that there has been people in the county who have lost their jobs. There have been cutbacks, and I think that's something that clearly I'm going to consider, and I know the rest of you will. It's an interesting challenge that Leslin makes, that she doesn't see the will around the table to make the kind of cuts necessary to sometimes. And I think that's something I've grown to I'd be able to do, I think, if in fact we have to do that. It never ceases to amaze me that the governor, the committee of three sit in a room and can't decide to do anything. And I think we're all waiting to see how that comes out. And it's not going to come out very quickly. And, you know, I just hope that it's not going to be as bad as it feels like it's going to be.
Just for the record, the target fund balance is at 5%, but we have $870,000 above target fund balance as the cushion people have been referring to. Are we ready to vote? Mike Sigler.
Yeah, I just felt like I shouldn't say something. I supported the 3% goal with the hopes that we'd get below that goal. I mean, I know that's overly optimistic of me, but and then basically the market went down, and I think and this is really more of a state level thing than for us. I applaud everyone in the room. I think that we worked very hard to get to this number. I just, since the market downturn, I see everything contracting except for county government and even state government. And so this is not a slam on our county at all. The state government calls for a hiring freeze and they continue to hire people. I see everybody contracting, and it seems that we don't address our structural problem, and neither does the state. The state, if it does not address the issue and cut things, which seems to be a very popular position right now, considering I'm looking at all the polls that say that New York State would like to see, New York Staters would like to see cuts in things. I think that if they don't move that direction, they're going to have to cut our funding at some point. They didn't really hurt the counties too bad this time, but I don't see this recession going away. Everyone's talking about an 18-month recession. I'm hoping we're at least 6 months into it, but that still leaves 12 months. So as more and more companies lay off workers locally, BorgWarner, but if we're not looking downstate at some of the cuts that have been made by things like Citibank, I mean, those are all people working in the city who are all paying income tax that are now leaving New York State. If we don't address that at a statewide level, I think that's going to come around, and we are going to have to make drastic cuts in next year. So I was hoping that maybe we would take that in stride and come in below that 3%. So that's about it.
Are we ready to vote? I'm going to ask for a long-form roll call.
Excuse me. Will you just clarify for everybody what it is we're voting on?
Voting on the 2009 Tompkins County budget, including our capital program. In one phrase, it's at the 2.99% tax levy increase. I can give you other numbers if people want them.
Mike, just to clarify.
Sure.
My recollection is occasionally in the past we have voted on the operating budget in one resolution and the capital budget in another resolution.
That's true.
Can you tell me why they're both in the same resolution this time?
It was a decision of the Budget and Capital Committee. I think it's probably the last few years we've done that. Okay.
So for clarification, hold it. Would you, for people who are have nothing else to do when they're watching us, that's got to be the highlight of their evening. Can you tell them what the capital program budget is? Because we haven't talked very much about that.
I don't have it in front of me. Can someone give us a quick summary?
Since we're looking at it together.
Norma?
How much we've committed to in capital program?
In capital program, we have $5,425,421.
For 2009. Thanks. Thank you.
Long form roll call.
Ms. Keeper?
Yes.
No.
Too late.
You wanted to.
I move the vote be closed. Julie will cast one vote. Do you want to take it?
That was a no vote.
That was a no. Pam Mackesy.
Ms. Mackesy?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Mr. Randall?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Sigler?
No.
Mr. Stevenson?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
No.
Ms. Chock?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Mr. Hattery?
No.
Ms. Herrera?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplinka-Lair?
Yes.
11 ayes, 4 noes.
Thank you very much. We do have the rest of our meeting to go through. Hopefully we can be expeditious. On to Public Safety Committee. Greg Stevenson, Chair.
I'd like to read this 14-page document. But I'll do it some other meeting. We're going to meet Friday, the 21st of November. That's this Friday, 2 p.m. at the old jail. That's my report.
Thank you, Greg. On to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie McBean-Claiborne, Chair.
We will meet December 17th.
December 17th, the day after our last meeting of the year. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Yes, I brought the last two sets of meeting minutes because we didn't have time to do this at the last two meetings. And we have 2 hours left, so...
2 hours left until what?
The committee met. Thank you, Mike. The committee met on November 5th, which was the same day as our last board meeting, and we haven't met since then, other than to keep abreast of the governor's proposed cuts to health care. I'll have a more, God willing, in-depth report by the next board meeting. The next committee meeting is December 3rd, and you're all invited.
And you have a resolution.
And I have a resolution. I'd like to move Resolution O, Appropriation from Contingent Fund, Terminal Pay Reimbursement, Health Department.
Is there a second? Leslie McBean-Claiborne seconds. Is there discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is a short form roll call. Excuse me.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Ms. Herrera?
Yes.
And does anyone wish to be recorded as a no? Seeing none, that's unanimous. Thank you. On to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Leslie McBean-Claiborne, Chair.
We will meet November 20th, this Thursday, 3:30 in the old jail.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to be withdrawing Resolution P. Is there someone else who would like to take such an action on Resolution Q, or do you want to still move it? Are you going to withdraw your member filed?
Yes, I don't want to go through that again.
Okay. So they're both withdrawn. Who would like to move the minutes of the previous meeting? Jim moves it. Frank seconds. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Motion to adjourn. Mike Hattery?
No.
Oh, Mike Hattery has a question.
For the sake of speed, earlier in the meeting, I asked if we could revisit appointment to the IDA. And I just wanted to clarify this. My understanding up to the point that we entered this meeting tonight is that no resolutions were required. This was an information process. But I thought I heard somebody say something about a resolution.
It's an accurate statement. There are no resolutions required. This recommendation from the TC and from the IDA board is that just that. The appointment authority by this legislature is not compromised by that recommendation. We can still do essentially anything we want. We can follow the recommendation or not.
Right.
No resolutions at this juncture are forthcoming.
And there are none forthcoming.
Martha.
Well, maybe resolution was the wrong word, but I was hoping that PDQ could take a vote that sets some kind of, that just makes it more clear what the legislature's policy is going to be in response to the IDA's recommendation, so that as it stands, we don't really have, it's in the charter, we have in the charter. What the membership is. Not the charter. We've passed a local law that says what the IDA membership shall be as appointed by the legislature. So I would just like to give PDQ an opportunity to look at something on paper that says yes or no, basically, to actually pass judgment on what the IVA has recommended, and then directs the chair, because it's the chair's appointment, which then comes through PDQ to the full legislature, on what the appointments to IVA are. So I just thought it's important enough, there should be something on paper for the committee to respond to and then the legislature to.
Making things clear from an information point of view.
Correct.
Okay, fine.
Who'd like to move that we adjourn? Tim Dennis moves it, Pam McAsey seconds. All in favor? We are now adjourned. Next meeting.